Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Tim Matheson, who's playing... Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's an honor. Tim's playing Ronald Reagan in Killing Reagan on National Geographic Channel, airing Sunday, October 16th at 8 p.m. That's actually my birthday, so thanks.
Oh, happy birthday. Big surprise. Everybody, come on in now. Here we go.
Come on in. But awesome. So obviously this thing, it covers the 81 assassination attempt. The Hinckley Hilton, as we call it, is right down the street from here.
Oh my God.
How much ground does it cover? Is it mostly all about the assassination, or do you cover other parts of the presidency, or, you know, what sort of time frame is it?
It's basically two stories. It's from, you know, the Bill O'Reilly book, Killing Reagan, and he has a series, mm-hmm. a very, very clever premise for each series. You know, killing Kennedy, killing Jesus,
Lincoln, Patton.
Killing Lincoln, and who's next? But the thing is, it's about the assassin and about the victim, and this is the first one that's actually gone beyond the assassination attempt in this case, because Reagan didn't die. So it's and on one hand you have the story of Ronnie and Nancy and the debate when he's running for president, and then they finally is elected, and then he's in office for about 2 months when I think on April 21st this happened. And then you've got the story of John Hinckley, who is just this untethered mind off in, you know, in his wonderland and space, trying to find something to do with his life, and it follows him. So they keep cutting back and forth between the two until they collide at the Hilton.
So it's like a parallel action until the two of them come together.
Absolutely. And the great thing about the series, and I think about this one especially, is that it's a history lesson wrapped in a mystery suspense movie. So, you know, you get all this interesting inside stuff, but it's not like many history movies where you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. You know,
it's like All the President's Men. It's like a nail biter. Yeah.
You got it. Exactly that. Gotcha. Yes. And it's wonderful. We saw it in front of an audience last night. We had the premiere here. It'll be on the air this weekend, October 16th. At 8 and 7 Central. And the audience loved it. It really, because it's a personal story. It's a love story between Ronnie and Nancy.
That's awesome. You mentioned that it's part of the O'Reilly book series with Reagan, Lincoln, Kennedy, Patton. Why do you think audiences, we have an appetite for this sort of thing? I know it's like salacious, but it's also, these are pivot moments that history just changed.
You know what it is, I think? It's our version of Shakespeare's histories and tragedies. It's like Henry IV, Part 1 and 2, Richard II, Richard III. It's back in the royal palace, behind the curtain, and we change, you know, sovereigns and kings every 4 to 8 years, and they have the same one for, you know, generations. But I think it's like Downton Abbey. We get to look behind the curtain into the Buckingham Palace and see what's going on, how people maneuver their ways in and around that story.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we're a news station. We have Republican and Democratic listeners, and we're in a heated election year. So when people hear, oh, this is an O'Reilly book, it's the same as if we heard Keith Olbermann wrote this on the other side.
Right,
How do you, you know, assuage our listeners that, how do you go about making it sort of, you just stick to the facts?
Well, you know, because it's not about the politics of the man. It's about his love story with Nancy. So it's about the heart of the man rather than the head. You know, it's not about the politics, because you can't act politics, but you can act passion and commitment. And here was a man who really dedicated the last half of his life to, you know, being governor, being president. And I wasn't politically aligned with Mr. Reagan. And I came away with a tremendous respect and admiration for who he was as a man and for what he did for this country, because he was the right guy, the right place at the right mm-hmm. time. This country was in need of a leader, a certain kind of leader, a tonic, if you will, at that time. And he provided that for this country. And I must say, I think he was a good president. I wasn't politically aligned with him, but I like the man.
And not only likable man, but influential in terms, a Democrat, probably FDR, but Republican, it's Reagan. They're probably the two most influential presidents of the 20th century.
Absolutely.
So how do you go about playing, you mentioned the man, how do you play the man? We had the actors from the indie movie South Side with You. They played Barack and Michelle Obama.
Yes.
And they just came out. So we had a similar conversation, but for Ronald Reagan, you know, do you watch videos of him? Do you read a biography, or how'd you prepare?
I did all of that. I read everything he wrote, every book by him, about him, for him, by his staff, by his wife, listened to every audio and tape and watched every video of him. And he's got an immense volume of material about him. So I just surrounded myself, and then I took a vocal coach who was giving me classes and lessons on his accent and to place his voice. So, but what I did all that just so that I could forget all that. And then just work on what's the thought process? What is it he's after? What does he want? What's he thinking? Because to me, the trap of this kind of a role is that you're mimicking them. And right. then it's not a breathing, living person.
It's like a caricature a lot of times.
Totally, yeah. exactly. And I think it's the biggest trap for an actor in that sense. So I just went inside and tried to find the thing. And you know what what was interesting about him? Because I saw so many sort of behind the scenes things with him from NBC News. David Brinkley did this great day in the life of the president at the White House and his mm-hmm. staff. Is that he was like a comic. He was, his great skill and he did it because he was not a big ego. And when people would be around the president or him when he was a movie star, a TV star, they get intimidated mm-hmm. and they get shy and they get nervous. And he always wanted to put people at ease. So he'd tell them a joke. And he was always joking with them, and he was casual and light, and he had that wonderful facility that people do, that he'd look them in the eye, and he would tell them a joke, and he'd pat them on the shoulder, and then right away they'd relax. And
like that moment, what's it in the debate when he says, I will not for one moment exploit my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Exactly. He always, it was the Irishman in him, So I came away with a tremendous respect for him, and I think that if our politicians today would follow that lead, on both sides of the aisle, we're here to work together to solve the problems of the people in our great country. That's our job. We're not here to shut down the government. We're not here to take our toll on the other side. It's just like a baseball game. Tonight we play at the National Stadium. Next Monday we're at Dodger Stadium. So tonight you guys get to bat last, and you get the home team. Okay, great. Right. Next week we get the home team and we bat last. So it's like, okay, you got it for 4 years. Next we'll get it.
But keep it a gentlemanly game. Don't throw stuff on the field and call each other's names and all. Like politics has gotten so coarsened in that way, it wasn't like that in that era.
No, he would. He would fight tooth and nail all day long against Tip O'Neill, who was the House Speaker, and then have him over for drinks 6 o'clock at night. And there were a couple of Irishmen sitting down talking, and they would leave all that behind because they had respect for each other. And I just think we need to get back to. What's the big picture here, guys? What are we trying to do? You're going to look back at this in 100 years, and people are going to just say, wow, it's too bad about those guys.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Tip. Is there anyone playing Tip O'Neill in this?
No, he's a minor character. Okay. But
go into the co-stars. I know you got Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City as Nancy, right?
She's great. I mean, it was she's just one of those actors that is just, you look her in the eye, and it's there, and you ping, she pongs, and she was really wonderful to work with, and she's just, I can't say enough wonderful things about her. It was great. It was just great. And then we have a bunch of other actors, none of which I don't think you'd recognize, but who play Jim Baker and Mike Ed Meese and Mike Deaver and the troika, the men around Al Haig, Secretary of State. And, and then the Hinckley side of the story is about this poor, bewildered, lost soul who's wandering around trying to find himself, and his parents that just don't know what to do. They're at their wits' end with this poor guy.
Who plays Hinckley?
His name is Kyle Moore.
Okay.
Young, I think he's an improv actor, he's fabulous. The interesting thing at the end of the movie, to see it with an audience, you really feel sorry for him. You feel, oh my God, you have a lot of empathy for this guy, which you wouldn't normally think you would, but he was just so lost. And we've all experienced days like that, but here was a guy whose life was like that.
I think that's the key. If you can take something and find empathy even in the antagonist of your story, it's you're onto something.
It's all about the humanity of it. We are all humans next to each other. We're all built of the same stuff, and we've all experienced the same things, but obviously not to the extreme that the Reagans or the Hinckleys have experienced it. And as I was raised there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Yeah, definitely. And let's see. I just saw this trailer yesterday. It just popped in my head. For Jackie, the Natalie Portman thing. Are you aware of this?
Yeah. That looks fantastic. I hear so many great things about that.
Yeah.
But again, it's back to that thing. It's our histories. And I think that it's such a deep well. We love these are the people, our rulers, and we love to see behind the scenes. It's their life. It's our Downton Abbey, you know. It's like, what's going on up there? You know?
Now, you have a little experience. You played on the West Wing. You were the VP for...
Yeah, I was the VP at the beginning.
I think you got a pair of Emmy nominations
That's
for that
true,
and everything.
Yeah.
Compare what Jed Bartlett, Martin Sheen, how was his presidency compared to Ronald Reagan?
Well, they were on different sides of the aisles. I love Martin, and I love Jed Bartlett, and it was great. I mean, he was mean to me as my character as vice president, but that was the story. You know, yeah. It was great. I was sort of LBJ to his JFK. I was this guy who was running on, like, I should be the president, you putz, you shouldn't be the president. And he yet was a very noble, righteous man. And that was the president we all dreamed that we would love to have, you know. And I think it's such a popular series. Really like a renewal and a rebirth for the West Wing now. It's like, and Josh Molina has a podcast for each episode, and he's working his way through all 7 years of the show, doing a podcast for each one with cast members and, you know, and talking about it. But... Reagan was, I think, I came away with a tremendous renewed respect for him because I think that he was what this country needed at that time. And he awoke a new kind of patriotism. And, you know, we had gone through the hostage crisis with Jimmy Carter and poor Jimmy. And you know, and then we'd had the Nixon resignation and Watergate. And it just was... one calamity and another, and, you know, Gerry Ford was, you know, not the strongest president. So here comes this older guy who'd been through the Depression, who was relentlessly positive, and he had a vision, and it was a simple thing. I know what I need to do to this country, you know. We got to take the Soviet Union on. We got to cut taxes and get the government off the backs of the people.
And win one for the Gipper in the process.
That's right, and, you know, absolutely.
I got to ask you, since we're on the clock, Otter.
Hey, yes.
People still have to be on the street all the time. That's what
everyone knows. Well, you know, because what's so great about that movie is every semester it becomes the go-to movie. You're going to college, you got to see this movie.
And school will always be happening. New generations always coming through discovering
Absolutely. And it holds up, you know, and my kids are just out of college. My son graduated a year and a half ago, but it was like, it was a rite of passage to see this movie. And so then when I'd show up, it was like, oh my God, you know, it's like, it's Otter. But it was a groundbreaking comedy, you know, at the time. It was totally different than anything that had been done. And it was one of those synchronous things where they got the right cast with the right script and the right director at just the right moment. And it just turned out better than we'd all hoped for. And, of course, at the core of it was John Belushi from Saturday Night Live. And it was just a wonderful spirit and an actor and a great man. And... yeah, it was a real treat to be involved with that.
You mentioned Belushi. How do you, when he goes on his famous rant, you know, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? You're the guy who lets him go, Germans? Forget it, let it go. He's on the roll. Do you remember that moment on set when you're like, Germans? How do you get that right sarcastic look?
Well, you know, it was, we shot that movie so fast that, and we could never do more than one take because the studio wouldn't allow us to print more than one take. So we'd do a take and the director would go, Landis would go, he said, do it again. So it was a very loose, free set. And you just got a sense, especially after we shot for a few days and you got used to it, a sense of how to play off each other and what it was like. And, you know, Belushi and I and the guy who played D-Day, Bruce McGill, we all became very good friends with Peter Riegert, too, and Jamie Widows. And we were the Deltas. And so we got used to each other and we got close to each other, you know. And we kept all the, you know, the Omegas. So we didn't party with them. We didn't let them come to our reindeer games.
But you had alphas of the industry. You had, I mean, writer Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Ivan Reitman producing.
Yeah.
John Landis directing. Why were they geniuses? Like, those are the comedy creation geniuses.
Harold was, amazing, and so was I. And you know, they hired Landis, because he had done Kentucky Fried Movie, and he had a very loose... He had a great sense of silent movies, and he had a great sense. The fact is, we shot the parade sequence in a little place called Cottage Grove, Oregon, where Buster Keaton had filmed The General.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
1927, General.
Wow. There's sort of a wonderful call. And he screened that movie for us before we went to Cottage Grove.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and he had a screening of it, and it was like, oh, my God. So, you know, there's a... this landmark film that we're in the same place. And so he just, you know, underscored what the importance of what we were doing and tried to give it significance too.
Wow, that's awesome. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's great. But bringing it back to Killing Reagan, I mean, you can do a comedy like that, and Cynthia Nixon can do Sex and the City.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys can both be side-splitting hilarious, and now you're playing the most buttoned-up presidential people ever. Why you know, just take us out. I know we're on the clock, but why should we tune in?
There are so many elements and so many facts and so much insight into Ronnie and Nancy and their life together and their time, this probably first year of their stay at the White House, that is unknown and not seen. And then so much of Hinckley that what, you know, you get this great historical story wrapped in a mystery and a suspense film. And so it's not too much Hinckley and it's not too much Ronnie and Nancy, and it's just enough of both. And it's very, very touching because of this series, he's the only one to have survived.
Except for the Jesus one. Maybe some listeners would think.
Yes, yes. Well, he wasn't a president, right? So, but it's how did it affect Ronnie and Nancy,
right?
You know, and people, it was interesting because I guess the more liberal members of the audience came to me and afterwards said, you know, I didn't think I'd really want to see this movie or like this movie.
Right.
And I was so moved by it. It was touched, you know, and I'm
That's
not,
great.
It was really sweet. And it's a very sweet ending, and you get the goodness of the man. And just because nowadays, and the lesson I got out of the whole thing is, just because I don't like your politics doesn't mean I can't like you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the message of the movie, and that's sort of the message that we need to hear, yeah, especially here in Washington at this time. We, you know, stop it. You're both pretty. We can all get along here,
right,
and they get the work done.
Yeah, it's a perfect message. Less than a month before Election Day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, again, it's Killing Reagan on National Geographic Channel on Sunday, October 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tim Matheson, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jason.